Next is an excerpt of an evening disciples meeting given on April 28, 1995, in Roderdeich, Belgium.
We're reminiscing. So Prabhupada, he also liked to reminisce about these days. I was with Prabhupada in Bombay in 1973. One time, when Tamal Krishna left the room and I was alone with Prabhupada, he continued speaking about his own preaching. "When I went to New York," he said, "I simply sat down with a small drum. Many were dancing. Were you there? I was working hard then. Those were happy days. 3 hours chanting in the park, then back to the temple for 2 hours. There was a bench in the kitchen, and I used to sit on it and watch Second Avenue at night. I couldn't sleep." Prabhupada went on to describe the different devotees at 26 Second Avenue, and he remembered the feasts and how many people were coming. He remembered how on Saturday nights all the devotees helped prepare for the feast. "Those were happy days," he repeated. He not infrequently would remember. I remember I visited him in Vrindavan in August, the 77, near the very end. And again, one night, he started in talking about everything, all little details. It's so nice. And he would remember along with him, and just so pleased and happy that he remembered those times and remembered you and remembered the different people. So, trying to remember Prabhupada, the person. "Prabhupada, as he appeared in this world, saved me. Krishna sent Prabhupada in such a perfect form, a form that could attract us. He was an ancient sage. He looked exactly like our idealized conception of guru, with his golden complexion, his Indian demeanor, in his simple ascetic robes. The tilak markings were mystical to us. They spoke to us of esoteric secrets. We had to learn a new vocabulary just to understand him. Bhakti, the real meaning of yoga, Krishna, service, sankirtan. He opened for us a world of self-realized souls and incarnations. He was perfect." I don't know what form Prabhupada has in Chaitanya Lila, but I offer my homage to the one in which he appeared to us on the Lower East Side. He used to wear white pointy shoes, rubber shoes, hardly serviceable footwear, walking around New York City or anywhere. I sometimes see Babaji's wearing those shoes in Vrindavan or someplace. That lady, Sally Agarwal, who Prabhupada stayed with their family in Pennsylvania, she remembered those shoes too. She said her little son would chew on them. And when he did, she got very upset because she thought they must be very dirty, having been in India. And she was very upset when she would see her son do that. But we must think that son must have been very fortunate. We like to eat those shoes. They're now sitting gold-plated at his feet in the Brooklyn Temple. The drum is in New Vrindavan, in the Prabhupada Palace. Yeah, he wore those shoes. This is in the summer he began these kirtans. So, the place is a bare storefront, which fortunately is now recovered for ISKCON's use. And in those days, there's no ISKCON, or just beginning there. ISKCON meant Swami and his aspirations for some kind of a movement, Hare Krishna. It was a place to come and chant. If you're interested, to stay and hear him. If you're really interested, find out about feasts. On Sunday, to go up and talk with him, ask questions. And where you could pick up the practice of chanting Hare Krishna and do it on your own, wherever you want. Very special asylum from the city life. Now, of course, in a sense, Prabhupada is the center and everything is Prabhupada, Prabhupada Centennial, and so on. But it was certainly everything was Prabhupada then, but in a different way. One difference being that nobody else knew anything except him. Nobody was actually a devotee. So this place was the place of kirtan at the storefront. As for the kirtan, we can characterize it as being very simple, musically, and very permissive, in that people took part in it, could play instruments, and yet it was also any instruments they wanted. And they didn't even have to be devotees, of course. Very, very much preaching kirtans, in that it wasn't devotees only. You know, the devotees only kirtans, like the Chaitanya held at Srivasangam's house. Devotees, non-devotees, not allowed, shut out. And then there are kirtans, like Nagar Sankirtan, in the streets, especially for people who aren't devotees. So this was open, although in the storefront, not as open as the park. And so people came. But he controlled it, and he conducted it for sure. Prabhupada talks about the nature of the people who came to see him then. In an interesting connection he makes with Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. When Lord Chaitanya went to the city of Varanasi, he could not propagate the chanting of Hare Krishna because people were offenders to Krishna, offenders to the holy name, but they were not interested. He said, "I have come here to sell my emotional, ecstatic sentiments in this city of Kashi, but I cannot find any customers. If they are not sold, I must take them back home. I have brought a heavy load to sell in this city. To take it back again is a very difficult job. Therefore, if I get but a fraction of the price, I shall sell it here in the city of Kasi." So this kind of amusing metaphor he makes of Lord Chaitanya, of himself as like a salesman who's brought a big load of things to sell. And so, aside from trying to make money, he's got to deal with the fact that he's got all these goods with him. He expects to diminish the load and make money, the salesman. So if you don't sell, you not only don't make profit, but what are you going to do with all this stuff? "You didn't tell me the time." "Okay, you turn it off." "We'll have to back up to..." I guess I miscalculated. Or you did. First time I did it, I had over 9 minutes before he got to Taptara Kanchan and Gaurangi. So Lord Chaitanya says that what's he going to do? Therefore, what he'll do is sell everything real cheap. So Prabhupada, he picks up that's what he did. But the difficulty is, if the people are offenders, then they're not even eligible at any price. So that's the main thing is whether people will, they may not have the payment. In other ways, they may not have qualifications, but at least one thing in this merciful dispensation, I want to give the Hare Krishna mantra. I've come to give it. I must give it away. So Prabhupada came, he was 70 years old. And he couldn't go back and come back again, and he wanted to give this mercy. So he didn't find the people so eligible, but at least they didn't have the big disqualification. He says, actually, we experienced this when we came to preach the Hare Krishna movement in the West. When we came to New York in 1965, we never expected that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra would be accepted in this country. Nonetheless, we invited people to our storefront to join in chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. And the Lord's holy name is so attractive that simply by coming to our storefront in New York, fortunate young people became Krishna conscious. Although this mission was started with insignificant capital, it is now going nicely. The spreading of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the West has become successful because the young people were not offenders. The youths who joined this movement were not very advanced as far as purity was concerned, nor were they very well educated in Vedic knowledge, but because they were not offenders, they could accept the importance of the Hare Krishna movement. We are now very happy to see that this movement is advancing more and more in Western countries. We therefore conclude that the so-called mleches and yavanas of the Western countries are more purified than offensive mayavadis or atheistic impersonalists. Remember, this was something Prabhupada personally experienced, and it gave him such strong convictions later that of the power of the holy name and also of appreciation for the devotees in the West, that they had good quality in not being offenders, and they accepted the holy name, which even sophisticated Vedic trained sannyasis and others didn't have such faith. So Prabhupada's affection for his disciples was based on this, that they had taken the best thing, the Hare Krishna mantra without offense, and they accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that should not be minimized by the fact that they weren't Westerners and weren't trained in other things. They had this great qualification. Of course, from our point of view, we just think that that Prabhupada himself made that qualification, attracted us to the chanting of Hare Krishna. So this is a nice purport. You can back up a little. Stop the conflict. That's what the conflict goal of the Adhavidin dominates for me. The Shabana is the day to it's a half hour, isn't it? It's really what I recommend, to just relax and chant. You'll see that our chanting will drown out the audience. That's another time you can do that. We can hear and just relish how they are singing there. But we'll be singing ourselves now. But we won't drown out Prabhupada. We'll be able to hear him and be with him as he sings. I said the kirtans were permissive. But that I also meant, in fact, I didn't mean like a lot of wild, so much that wild stuff went on and distracting things were allowed. But permissive in the sense, in a spiritual sense, that Prabhupada didn't instruct us that when you chant, you have to think like this, you have to sit like this, you have to understand like this, and you have to be pure like this. But he just let us dive into the chanting. As long as we did the chanting, you know, basically, to the beat and the tune that he had it, he allowed us, in our beginning stage, to experience it for whatever we thought it was. So, and we had imaginary ideas of what was happening, but unbeknownst to us, we were becoming purified by contact with the holy name. It's like Prabhupada, as the guru, not knowing what we did not know, knew that he was leading us into attraction to Krishna's holy name. We just thought of it in terms of being a really far out experience of meditation. And And yet, how far off were we? Not so far off in the sense that it was purifying, that we were releasing our emotions and imaginations and our spontaneous feelings. And he was encouraging us that it's just like he would encourage us to eat by saying, eat more, eat more. So he was like saying, chant more, enjoy more, cry, dance, laugh, whatever you think. Just go on and sing. I'm reading you, sing. Permissive in that sense. So we're all more educated in the holy name, but we should also permit ourselves to hear the chanting as if for the first time, freshly, and let it work on us, not as just some duty or routine exercise. And permit Prabhupada also to do it his way, to do it to us, to lead us again and again. And we'll permit him to be our leader in the kirtan. Okay, let's see if we get the get the volume just right too. We can all sing along. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare.